The last few weeks we've been talking about building blocks, and it's kind of been a series of messages that has developed along the road. Many times if you hear me say I'm preaching a series, I've already got it laid out, or at least some general ideas, and that's not the way this worked this time. It just actually started out to be two messages and ended up being three, and now it's four, and I think this is all. And so it's just ideas from Genesis. I always have felt like that the Garden of Eden, that we look there and we read these first few chapters of God's design, of God's creation, and it gives us a clear picture of God's intent, of what God meant for you and I to be enjoying it. Even though we know of the fall, and we know that man has sinned and things have changed and the garden has been blocked off, I don't think that that changes God's intent. That God still has that desire for us to enjoy that kind of relationship. And we began this series by looking at what creation in general tells us. The fact that God simply stepped out and spoke everything into existence. There are some great lessons there. Then we looked at how God came down and talked with Adam and Eve each day and their communication and what that teaches us about prayer, our communication, and our relationship with God. Last week we talked about family and what we learn about family from the Garden of Eden and how God established Adam and Eve and the family there in the garden. And again, that had originally been where I had, in my mind, intended to end this series. But God had some different ideas and allowed some numbers to come across in front of me that kind of set me back just a little bit as I read this and felt like there's at least one more message out of this passage that we need to learn as a building block. Again, the idea that that these messages, these things out of Genesis, are things that that everything else we do, everything else we believe, sits on these blocks. They are foundational. They're like the ABCs. They are the very basics that everything else springs up out of. And that we can, to be right, to have the life that God desires and designs for us, we have to be mindful of these. We have to keep these in our mind. And so this morning I want to look at one more of these building blocks. And it all, again, came about because a research, a survey that was done a year or so ago came across my desk. George Barna, some of you may have heard his name. George Barna, he doesn't do it as much now, but at one time was very big into doing all kinds of research and compiling statistics regarding the church and looking at different things. And one that he did a year or so ago was just on, in general, the spirituality of Christians. Just kind of asking them, just kind of in general, what do you believe about various issues in the Scripture, various issues in the church. He asked them questions about God, Holy Spirit, the Bible, all kinds of questions along those lines. But one section came to me that I stumbled across really caught my eye. And he asks some 1,871. I don't know where he got that strange number, but 1,871 Christians. Now, again, that's the operative word. I want you to remember that this survey was done among Christians, those who professed Christ as their Savior. Now, he didn't go out and, you know, make them prove it or anything. Just, you know, are you a Christian? And if they said yes, then he compiled their answers. And so he went out and he gave them on this particular section, they had four points, four answers to the question. You've probably seen surveys done this way before. One of them said strongly agree, somewhat disagree, and strongly disagree. That was the four options that they had to choose from. So everybody of this almost 2,000 people had to choose one of those four. Strongly agree, somewhat disagree, or strongly disagree. And the question that caught my eyes as I read about this was, he asked this question: do you believe that was Satan, is the devil a literal creation? Does this devil literally exist, or is he just symbolic of evil? That was the question that was asked of almost 2,000 Christians. Now, of those 2,000 Christians, those that that responded, again, in any one of those four categories, 4 out of 10, 40% said they strongly disagree. They strongly disagree with that statement. And I want to remind you what that statement was. Satan literally exists, or he's just a symbol of evil. In other words, 4 out of 10 of those who profess Christ said, we strongly disagree, there is no literal devil. That was 4 out of 10 Christians. 40% said, we strongly disagree. There is no literal devil. He is only a symbol of evil. Right at 20% of those Christians who were asked that question said they somewhat disagree with that statement. So we have 60% of this group of Christians who say we do not believe in a literal devil. We don't believe that the devil literally exists. He is only a symbol of evil. 40% said we strongly disagree. 20% said we somewhat disagree that there is a literal Satan. Out of that group, about 10% said they agree somewhat. In other words, they say that they believe there is a devil. 10% of those that were surveyed said they believe. So out of 1,871, 187 said, we believe that there is a devil, we think. We're sure. A minority of those asked said, we strongly believe there is a devil. And get this, maybe, I know some of you sit there when I said 40% said they don't believe in a devil. 20% said they just somewhat disagreed that there was a devil. Some of you kind of had the deer in the headlight. Look, how about this one? 8% of them said, we don't know. Yeah, that might have stunned me the most. 8% of Christians said, we don't know. We're not sure what we think about a devil. We're not real sure what we believe about Satan. You know, I got to give the 40% credit that said, we know what we believe and we don't believe in the devil. Got to give them credit for having conviction. You know, I got to give them a little bit, give them the pause for saying, but 8% of those who profess Christianity said, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know if there's a devil or not. I don't know what to believe about the devil. Now, as I thought about those numbers and I think about that, I thought about how really disappointing, how really sad that is, that we have 40% of the people who claim to be Christians who are strongly disagreeing with the Word of God. That's what it boils down to. And when you say you don't believe in the devil, you're not just saying, I don't believe there's a devil. You've got to also take that next step and say, you know what? I don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible clearly teaches from cover to cover that there is a literal Satan. When I thought about it later, I really haven't had time to go back and verify my initial thought, is that I don't think you could go through the Word of God and find any book that in some way doesn't directly mention, or at least in some way point towards, the concept, the idea of a literal devil. I'm not sure there's a book out there. I don't think there's any one of the 66 books of the Word of God that don't in some way refer back to the Bible. Now, when you look in those other books, those other 65, I realize this morning there are great texts that I could use to speak about Satan. There are some great passages there that talk about his fall. There are some great passages in the Word of God that tell us about his future. There are great passages there that tell us about what He's doing now. There are great passages that tell us what He did before the fall. There are all kinds of passages that give us a lot of information about the devil. But again, what I'm looking at this morning are building blocks. Back to some of those basics that we kind of set our faith on. And to do that, I think the best place to look is our initial introduction to Satan here in the book of Genesis. When we look there, we have this, again, this first meeting up with this man that we come, this creature, this fallen angel. I shouldn't have said man. Fallen angel that we know as the devil, as Satan, as Lucifer, Slewfoot, all kinds of names that he carries. But we have that first introduction. And so, again, that's more the aim of the message this morning. I'm not even attempting this morning. You know, sometimes you preach or you teach, and your goal is to kind of maybe reveal something new and something you've discovered, some fascinating thing that amazes you. That's not the point this morning. This morning is more like your routine medical checkup. You know how that works. You go into the doctor's office for your physical every 8-9 years. Every Debbie's frowning at me. The parish nurse said, no, preacher, you don't. No. Every year, you go in for that annual checkup, and he walks in, and I could be an annual checkup doctor. I could. You're too fat. Your cholesterol's up. Your good cholesterol's down. Your bad cholesterol's up. You got the too fat one. They always come up with that one. I just look at you real close as you come in, and I tell you whether you need to quit smoking or not. I think I could do annual checkups. I mean, how many of you did I just save you an annual checkup? You need to go on a diet. Your cholesterol's too high. Blood sugar, blood pressure. That doesn't apply to everybody. Some of them don't have to worry about that. But I can save you a checkup. Because they all say that. Nobody here goes to the doctor and he says, "You need to lose weight." Really? Really? Now, some of you may be that vain, that naive, but you go in, he says, "Your cholesterol's too high." Really? Eating a pound of bacon every day is bad for me? Yeah, really? Yeah, most of us. And this morning, my goal this morning is not to have you leave here going, "Wow, I never thought of that." Yeah. What I want to do is I want to go back and I want to look at this initial meeting with Satan. And I want to tell you, like the doctor, you need to lose weight. Your cholesterol's too high. All those kind of things. Just a basic checkup. Just a reminder. I'm not going to say anything this morning that you don't already know. I just think I need to remind you every now and then what Satan's up to. And we learn it in this first introduction to him. When he goes out there, you know the story. He's wandering around the garden going, "Wow, that's beautiful. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that pretty? Just, isn't that sweet? Look at that animal. Look at that deer. Da, 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 da." And she's just enjoying God's handiwork. And all of a sudden she hears, psst, literally. Hey, think about that one. Psst, psst, think about that one. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, you! Come here a minute. And she wanders over and begins this conversation with the serpent. Begins this conversation with Satan. And he asks her, he says, "Did God really tell you you couldn't eat of this tree? Is that really what he said?" And he begins to get her to think about it. And you know, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. Three things we learn about Satan in that story that I think are critical for us to remember. I'm not even presuming this morning. Don't even attempt to think that you don't already know this. Just sometimes we act like we have forgotten it. So let me remind you of three things that we learn about Satan that you need to set your faith on, that you need to guide your life by. First of all, one of the things we learn about Satan is we need to remember the camouflage that he employs. Satan, the camouflage that he employs. Look in this passage and you see where the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any other creature in the garden. Now, I find it interesting that as we look at that, and the Bible describes Satan as a serpent. Now, you and I do know a person or two who actually likes snakes, plays with snakes, keep snakes. I used to have a stop on a route I ran at one time when they had a little one of these restaurants, a little service stations that had a little cafe in it, and when they on certain days they would have expect big business. They had an overflow room where they kept their bread, and I won't never forget the first day I went walking in there, and y'all can put that bread somewhere else, or you can put it in there. You know, I'm not going in there with that critter. I don't know what kind he was. I don't care. You know, he was poisonous. I know. You know, somebody asked me what color. I don't know. Don't care. You know, he was a snake. That was his room. You know, that was his room. You know, excuse me. Didn't mean to bother you. That was his room. But let's be honest. As much as we don't particularly care for snakes, as much as we don't like snakes, as much as we may even be scared of snakes, you got to admit that some of them just have beautiful color about them. They're graceful. And so, again, remember, we're looking at the snake from a fallen world point of view. Yeah, the serpent that we have pictured to us here, remember this was before the fall. They weren't thinking about poisonous. They weren't thinking about death. They weren't thinking about all these things. She saw a beautiful, in fact, it says more subtle, more crafty, more wise creature than anything else in the garden. It said, hey, psst, come here. You like that? Psst, don't forget that and tell that one to somebody. Yeah, hey, come here. I want to talk to you for a moment. What I want to remind you that we learned in our initial meeting of Satan. Now, remember, let me just give you, some of you, when I said that about snakes being, you know, graceful and all that, some of you looked at me like I had lost my mind. Okay? But let me remind you this. The Bible tells us, what is one of the other pictures we have of Satan? The Bible says that he's also a roaring lion. Remember that? Now, let me ask you a question. I tell you right now, every day of the week and twice on Sunday, I would rather deal with a snake sitting there than a lion sitting there. You know why? Because I'm kind of fat and old and slow, but I can get away from that snake. Furthermore, he's closer to Archie. Yeah, listen, yeah. Yeah, I know this. I've played in the woods enough to know that as a general rule, snake would rather go that way than mess with me. Yeah. I know that. Yeah, I know this about snakes. I'm not a snake person, but I know this about snakes. I know that snakes typically don't sit around and go in the woods looking and say, "I sure wish a fat human had come by here. I'm hungry." You know, snakes sit around and think, "I hope a rat runs by," which, hey, you know, that works for me. Yeah, they sit around thinking, "I hope a bird lands over here. Hope a lizard runs by or something. Hope a fish swims by, something." But as a general rule, snakes don't sit around going, "Hey, I hope Archie walks by." You know, they just don't. They just soon never deal with humans. On the other hand, lions see the difference. Furthermore, I can see that snake, and I think I can outrun him. You know, I find a hole. I'll find a wreck, something. Hey, I'll get Elsie. Elsie killed a copperhead out here one day with a butcher knife. Yeah, listen, you can take, that's been years ago, cool your jets. It's not been, that's been a long time ago. Yeah. But a lion, on the other hand, lion, you ever seen the Wild World or, not sports, Wild Kingdom? Wrong show. Yeah, right, wild, wrong show. Yeah, they pounce down and wait on somebody to come back. You notice what Satan didn't do? He didn't show up in the garden as a lion waiting to pounce. Understand this. Young people, listen to me. Satan always makes it look better than it is. Always. You know what? Let me give you the greatest example I can give you. Let me give you a perfect example of how Satan works. All you have to do is go home today, turn on your television, and wait for the next beer commercial to come on. And they'll trot them pretty horses by you, and you'll sit there and go, "Oh, aren't they beautiful?" They'll show you the mountains. Wait till summer, wintertime. They'll show you the snow. They'll show you all those things. Pick up any magazine you want to and turn it in there, and you'll see the Marlboro Man looking all strong and healthy. What they never show you on any of those beer commercials is they don't show you anybody waking up the next morning going, "Where am I?
You know, they don't, listen, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I'm going to get up in your bed. They don't show anybody waking up the next morning going, where are my clothes? They don't show anybody the next morning with their head stuck in the porcelain throne, throwing up their guts. They show you those pretty horses. They show you those beautiful mountains. You go fishing, you don't just throw a hook in the water, you put bait on it. Satan always camouflages the bait. He always camouflages. He's done it from day one and has not changed his method. I want to tell you something. You know, you have seen it, and every person in here with any length of life whatsoever can look back on their life and they can remember a circumstance when something looked so good, it looked so enticing, it looked so pretty, it looked like there can't possibly be a hook in this, and yet you look back and you think, that was the biggest mistake I ever made. Some of y'all may have noticed, we have, if you need any, by the way, we have plenty of garbage. If you'd like some, bag, two bags, three bags, we have plenty. You hadn't even seen it all. We actually got garbage in storage, believe it or not. We actually put garbage up, waiting on them to come get this, because we got more. That's how much garbage we got after Bible school was over. We got garbage. You know, I mean piles of it. I'm afraid to open the door. I know where it is, but I hadn't looked. Because I don't want to know. You know, I just don't want to know. I know we have garbage stored. I heard about a man one time who had a problem like that. Lived by a busy road, and he said what he would do was cheaper than having his garbage hauled off. He went to the dollar, bought some cheap wrapping paper, and every time you get so much garbage, you put it in a box, he'd wrap it up, put a bow on it, set it beside the road. Said it wouldn't sit there any time somebody come run off, throw it in the back of the car, and off down the road, they'd go. It happens all the time. We threw out a sectional sofa several years ago, looked out, and some kids up the street had set that rascal on their skateboards and was pushing it up the road. Satan always makes garbage look like a gift. I want to tell you something. There have been a lot of homes destroyed because somebody in the workplace looked over there at him or her and thought she was or he was the best thing they'd ever seen. And if I could just have him or have her, my life would be so much better. Satan always puts a bow on the trap. You don't set a mouse trap out without putting some cheese in it. It always looks better. Looks good. Satan has always been a master of camouflage. Be careful in what you think looks good. Be careful. You need to be praying. You need to be seeking God's will. Because I will promise you this, somewhere along the way, we have bought into this mindset that every open door is a door that God has opened. I think about a friend of mine, a fellow I know, that was pastor of a church. And I know the church, it had its issues, but man alive, he just whined and complained constantly about that church. And it worked out where somebody asked him to come over into a neighboring county and preach a revival for him. Well, the week the revival was scheduled, the pastor got sick and actually ended up passing away. Well, they rescheduled the revival. And so this young man, he went back later and preached that revival. And while he was preaching that revival, they just thought he was the best thing since sliced bread. And he just thought they were just, you know, the better to go on that sliced bread, everything. And it must be the will of God because of the way it all worked out. You know, it's just how it all come about. You know, it must be God at work. So, lo and behold, they called him as pastor. He accepted. He left that horrible place behind where he had been. Yeah. Because this is just heaven on earth. Yeah, he ought to knew better to sign out front and said Baptist. Yeah, he ought to knew better. But it was just heaven on earth. He knew this was going to be the greatest church. It was going to be the greatest. I don't think he made it 3 months. Every open door, every box with a bow on it, isn't what it cracked up to be. Satan uses camouflage. He hides. Be careful. Be prayerful of what you become involved with. The camouflage he employs. Not only the camouflage, but you also see the confusion he evokes. Look what he does to her. You've all heard this story before. You know how this works. He comes home and says, "Did God really say that? Did God really say that?" You know, if I had a nickel for every time I heard someone make some statement like, "Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but..." I promise you this, there is nothing good that can come after that at the end of that sentence. "I know that's what the Bible says, but..." It's going downhill from there. You know, guarantee it. You know, I know that, you know, I know what how people used to, but, you know, it's going to get ugly after that, I promise you. You know, but that's exactly what Satan does here. He said, "Did God really say..." You know, question, you know, is that really what God means? Is that really what God's thinking? Is that really what God wants? You know, here's what I get. I go back to those 40% of people who said, "I strongly disagree that there's a literal Satan." You know what they've done? They've taken about half the Word of God and said, threw it out the window. It happens all the time. You know, "I know the Bible says not to lie, but in this situation..." I'm not asking you if you said that or heard that. You know, I don't want you to volunteer. Think about it. How many of you... Don't raise your hand, please. We'll just have to have a longer altar call. You know, you've been in where you're sitting in, you're put in a circumstance, and the thought run through your mind, "I know what God says. I know what the Bible says. I know what Mama says. You know, but in this situation, I think it'll be all right." You ever heard anybody, they try to get you to reason out, "Would you steal if your kids was hungry?" You know, that confusion. Satan's always been his method. It's the way he works. He wants to stir up confusion. And he's a master at it. You know, how he works. He just kind of plants that seed and lets us begin. You think about the trouble. I'm just going to remind you some things this morning. Think about the times, how much trouble you've got into when you got to thinking. That sounds bad, doesn't it? We get to thinking and get in trouble. Yeah, you know, I hear people at times say, "Think about it." Most of the time we think about it, we end up in trouble. Yeah. I have somebody who every now and then comes to me and says, "I've been thinking." I'm like, "Oh, no, not again. Don't do that. You're not qualified. You know, don't do that." Listen, Satan gets us to start to reasoning out. You know how it works? "Oh, just this once. I'll never do it again. Just this one time. Oh, I'm on vacation. Nobody will ever know." Isn't that how it works? "Just this once. Just this time. Just this once." The confusion he evokes. But here's what really I notice about it. The calamity he enjoys. As I thought about this story and as I think about Satan, I can't help but think that at some point after Eve and after Adam had taken part of that fruit, he went over and he pulled out his lounge chair. And he set it out there in the garden and leaned back and said, "I can't wait. This will be good. I can't wait." Now, those of you who... I counted up what I say this morning, aren't you? 17 years, 1 month, and 10 days. 10 days I've been your pastor. Those of you who know me any portion of those 17 years, 1 month, 10 days. No, I'm losing my mind for one. And second of all, no, I like a good practical joke. I like a good practical joke. As long as it's on Archie. I love a good practical joke. You know, as long as it's not on me, it's on you. I like them. And on Archie's even better. You know, I like it. You know, and I like to sit back and watch them. My favorite kind of practical joke is the kind I get James to play on Archie. That way when it happens, Archie don't get mad at me. He goes after James. Yeah, that's my favorite kind of joke. I have been called by some unspiritual people an instigator. Hurt my feelings. Yeah. You know, just cut me right to the bone. But I can just imagine Satan that day. Yeah, there's nothing better when you know the practical joke is set and you're just sitting back watching. Watch this when they open that door. Watch this from here. You're sitting back waiting on it to spring. I can just see Satan that day sitting there going, I can't wait till God shows up and sees what I've done in His creation. I can't wait till God gets here. I bet when Adam and Eve went diving into the bushes because they realized they were naked, he rolled around on the floor of that garden just laughing his head off. Because Satan enjoys chaos. He enjoys destruction. The Bible says, again, he's seeking whom he may devour. Let me just lay it out for you. You may not understand this real clear. Satan wants you dead. That's his object. We learn all that. What happened when they fell? Spiritual death. Satan. 40% may say they don't believe in him. I found the other thing interesting as I was searching. This has been a while back. I was looking for something else, and I was looking for pictures. And I went on the internet and I searched. I said, bring up for me the pictures of the devil. And it was an interesting mix. A lot of them, you might imagine, fangs, horn, you know, just that hideous face. But I was amazed at the number of just cartoon characters, a little tail, and, you know, his little pitchfork and his can of ham or whatever. Oh, he's just the cutest little thing. His little red flannel pajamas with, you know, just running around, you know, bugs, all that kind of thing. Listen, that may be the image some people have of Satan. But I'm telling you, based on his first introduction to us, that's not the character he is. He is a destroyer. He is a liar. He wants to see your family destroyed. He wants to see your marriage destroyed. He wants to see your home place, your job, your life destroyed. That's what we learn about Satan. And you know what I've noticed? He hadn't changed. He hasn't needed to. We still fall for the same tricks. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. There was a book several years ago I had, and the name of that book was Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. I have never been more convinced of that truth in my life. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. This morning you're sitting here, many of you I know, you're already Christian, you've been saved, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. But this morning there are things in your life you're battling, you're struggling with, and you open your eyes this morning and realize that Satan at work trying to destroy you. You need to come and kneel at this altar and say, God, protect me. God, give me wisdom. Show me what decisions to make. Show me what to do. Protect me from the serpent. Some of you here today, you have loved ones, family, friends, children, grandchildren, who Satan is doing everything he can to get his claws in them. Doing everything he can to get his hooks in them. He's hiding it. He's covering it up. It's camouflaged and it looks really good. But he's trying to destroy their home, trying to destroy their marriage, trying to destroy their reputation. You need to come this morning and fall on this altar and say, Lord, protect them. Give them wisdom. Help me know what to do. Help me know what to say.